Hello, happy holidays, and welcome back to Life Coaching with Mike Fitch. I was struggling to come up with a theme for this week's podcast when a former player of mine reached out to me to ask me how he could go about creating a culture similar to the one we had where we had to kick players out of the gym, but in a place of business. I then, later in the day, had lunch with a former player of mine, and it only facilitated the conversation further. And it brought me to the following points. As a boss or a leader, hiring is probably the most important thing you are ever going to do. If you hire well, you save yourself so much time and trouble, and you can basically guarantee the success of your business or enterprise. If you hire poorly, however, you can make more work for yourself and hurt the natural progression of your business. In interviewing, try to get a feel for people. Write questions that will allow people to expound and talk about themselves and what they like and what they are like. You have to get to know the person. It cannot be about checking boxes and filling out an evaluation form of the interview. It has to be deeper than that. You have to see if they will be a fit. Are they competitive? Are they driven? Are they hard to deal with? Are they obstinate? Are they opinionated? Are they ass kickers or ass kissers? The more formal the process, the more formal the person being interviewed will try to be, and the further from them, their genuine selves. Are they going to buy in? Are they going to commit? Do they want to be a part of something larger than themselves? Are they a problem solver? Can they find work, or do they just simply do work? Let the interview flow and don't be tied to a list of questions that have to be asked regardless. You can ask some people one question and know that they will or won't be a fit. Others, it takes more time. And I personally don't really care about your resume. That's what you've done in the past. I'm a lot more concerned about what you're going to do in the future. Some good hires, honestly, can be high maintenance. That's not necessarily a bad thing. I would rather have an employee that I had to rein in than one I had to kind of constantly cajole and motivate. Some of your best employees are going to question things. They're going to question you. They're going to question processes. They're going to question things that you think should just be accepted as gospel. They're going to have things about them that drive you nuts. They're going to try your patience. They're going to demand your time. But that is because they are so focused on doing a good job and they care so much, they don't even realize they're doing these things. They get tunnel visioned, and that is a good problem to deal with. I would rather have a really productive teammate or employee that cares a lot and requires some of my time than a low maintenance employee, one that does not care at all and requires none of my time. You want to surround yourself with competent, motivated, driven people, then show them on a daily basis how committed you are to the process and how committed you are to them. That regardless of how big or small a role they may see themselves having, they are ridiculously important to the overall success. You do that and make sure as a leader, you always delegate and empower. The key to this is understanding your own strengths and weaknesses. Again, I come back to hiring. You can either surround yourself with people that fill your gaps and supplement your strengths, or you can work endlessly and tirelessly to be perfect and develop all of your abilities to their maximum. Neither is wrong, but one is a lot easier and involves a team, which we all strive to be on, and the other is exhausting and virtually impossible. Some of us have weaknesses that are strong enough that committing too much time to them in hopes of improving them will get you very quickly to the point of diminishing returns. At some point, you honestly just have to know when to call uncle and ask for help in areas that you don't have a natural inclination. That takes humility and it takes self-awareness. And it takes making yourself a little vulnerable to admit that you're not very good at something when you're in charge. Delegation is risky, especially for control freaks. And who is typically put in charge but people who like control? But empowering people is powerful. It invests those around you in the process. It gives them ownership. You have to let go and trust them. You have to let them own it. No different than teaching your child how to ride a bike. At some point, you have to let go. And whether they crash or keep riding, you will respond accordingly. Trust, 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 no matter how hard it may be. Being as genuine and authentic as possible with everyone is very important. They need to see you as real, not some figurehead that rules from on high. Come out of the ivory tower, even though we all know that there is work being done there, and get your hands dirty. I feel really lucky to have really close relationships with a lot of my former players that did not get a lot of playing time for us. I can only credit that to our staff doing a great job of fostering relationships and making everyone feel valued. I was a terrible athlete. Terrible. I was on the football team only because they don't make cuts in football. But practices were my games. That was the only action I was going to see, so I treated practices like games. It drove the starters nuts, but I was not going to give a half-assed effort in the only way I saw to contribute to the team being successful. I was awarded the Scout Team or Practice Team Player of the Year award at the football banquet, and at the time I was slightly embarrassed by it. It was like being the potentially the best of the worst. But now that I look back on it, I appreciate their appreciation of me and my effort. One of my assistant coaches at the time, who ran the scout team offense and the scout team defense, so we spent a lot of time together, was always very good to me and treated me well, made me feel important and valued. So even though I did not get to play, I was willing to do whatever he asked me to the best of my ability. I was loyal to him, therefore I was not going to disappoint him. He then later cut me from the JV basketball team, but I don't blame him. I was not very good, and I deserved to be cut. We are close even today and have been friends for over 30 years. Point being, you have to engender those around you with a sense of loyalty and commitment. Get to know people. Invest in them. Dig deeper with people. Be genuine in your interactions. Don't leave things surface level. Make sure your interactions with them require more than a standard boxed response. Make it a point to engage in a conversation, a real one, with each of those in your charge as much as possible. It shows that you care. It allows people to talk about themselves, which, honestly, most people love. And then share personal stories about yourself. This can be scary because when you invest, when you throw yourself out there, open yourself up to being hurt or judged or mocked or rejected in one way or another. But a life lived afraid is no life. One season, our football team had lost the state title game, and the football players came into basketball tryouts beat up and more than a little disappointed. I noticed one of the players on a side hoop, and I grabbed him and commented to him on his season. He had made himself into a starter when no one thought that that would occur. I told him how proud I was of him, how impressed I was with his season, and that he should not let one loss overshadow everything that he accomplished and overcame to be a starter for a tremendous football team. It seemed like a small thing at the time. I just saw how sad he was, and I wanted to make him feel better. He later told me that it made a huge difference for him and helped him turn the page and approach the basketball season with a renewed enthusiasm. Small things matter. Details matter. He was a tremendous role player for us, not a star, but a key cog for our team that lost the state title game as well. His most important role for us was chemistry. He was the dude that kept it light, made us laugh regardless of the situation. In fact, a lot of his antics are still regular parts of conversations that I have with guys from that team 10 years later. You have to generate a culture that is conducive to success. People have to feel valued. They have to feel important, regardless of their role. You cannot do that on false pretenses. You must be genuine and authentic. The Golden State Warriors built a dynasty of sorts in the NBA recently. And one innovative thing they did, I thought was really interesting, and they count touches. They would literally break down film and count the number of times players touched each other. A slap on the back, a high five, a hug, whatever. The higher the touch rate, the more successful they were. Human touch is a big deal. Engage, interact. Saying I love you along these same lines is a big deal. Loving someone does not need to be reserved for family and the closest to friends. I told all of my teams I loved them regularly. And I tell an inordinate number of my former players now that I love them. In fact, I had lunch with one today, and we told each other that we loved each other, and we had not seen each other for almost 10 years. It's a sentiment that needs to be embraced, not avoided. I see places of business advertising jobs and referring to employees as team members. I think it's a great strategy. It's a great idea, but is it genuine, or is it just a convenient label that they came up with at corporate to make it seem like they really value their employees? You know what? I would rather be called an employee and work for a really, really caring company that values me as a person than I would work for a company that calls me a team member and treats me like crap. I'll tell you how I quantify the degree of caring that must go into being part of something larger than yourself. And I'm going to use a profanity here, so I'll warn you in advance, but I find it the best way to make my point. I measure it by the GAS factor, GAS, the give a shit factor. Your GAS factor has to be greater than anyone else's. As the leader, your GAS factor has to be genuine. It has to be matched by those around you or as closely as possible. People can smell a disingenuous gesture, maybe not immediately, but a lack of authenticity will start to stink bad enough that even the most olfactory challenged of us will eventually catch a whiff. There has to be a degree of commitment and caring for the product that is being produced that is high enough that people are willing to give of themselves to achieve it or improve it or develop it. You have to care. It has to matter to you. Now, in athletics, I think this was easier than most arenas because everybody wants to win. And that was the bottom line. That was the objective. Even though not everyone wants to do what it takes to win. But you know what you need to find when you are looking for people to surround yourself with? Are people that hate to lose more than they love to win. Everybody loves to win. Hating to lose is a very rare and valuable commodity. The enemy must be greater than the apathy. People need to be intrinsically motivated. They have to want to succeed. The enemy is failing, and the apathy, of course, is a limited gas factor. A lack of motivation, commitment, and caring. You have to care. Now, in the business world, it all comes down to money. People are working to make a living. But if you get their job to be more than a job, if their gas factor is high enough, it will transcend money. The money will be a bonus because they simply want to do a great job because they are so driven, they care so much, and they are so invested. It was always fun for me on payday at the school to take around teachers' paychecks. It was amazing how many times and how many of them would say, "We get paid for this?" And of course, they were saying it in jest, but really they meant it. That job, that school, those students meant so much to them that the money was simply a bonus. Develop a culture where it is about more than the money. The money is not the focus. The process is the reward. The product is the reward. The relationships are the reward, and the people are the reward. If you do that, you will find more success than you can ever imagine, and you will develop relationships and friendships that will greatly outweigh any profit margin. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.